devices spaced around a circle. And now I rotate the device on the test 180 degrees. I've now measured every one of those 41,000 square degrees of space, and when I properly integrate all of that gathered data, I now can draw a three-dimensional antenna plot that's going to be awful close to accurate. Over to you, Glenn, K2RIW.
You're darn straight, you will. And you know what's great about that, too? I bet you when you've done it, and the measurement that you've seen most of the time is E-field only. Am I accurate on that one?
You might be. Because of the nature of the sensing devices, the cross-polarized sensing devices, 64 of them around that ring, that's all buried in anechoic materials, and you put your device in the test at the geometric center of that and rotate it, and take your own sweet time rotating it and gathering a whole lot of data, megabytes of data. Those sensors, I think, are primarily E-field sensors, yes. You've just given me a problem. They are E-field sensors. Well, hold on now. Those E-field sensors are made out of conducting wires that have finite... So the magnetic field hitting those conductors by Faraday's law are generating what looks like E. Those pure E-field detectors of the quality that Glenn and Dick have discussed in the past are pair of polonium sources with fiber optic cables coming out of them. No, they are not. So, are those E-field sensors? Are those H-field sensors? The answer is yes. They are sensors that measure some combination of E and H because of the way they are constructed and operated. Over to you, Greg. KGRL item.
Right on, Dick. We're both old enough and adult enough to know that there's nothing in this life that's pure. And what's really interesting about this is you can do the calculation and convert your in every orientation of that antenna for your E field. Your H field is going to be at maximum when your E field is in maximum. And what you can do is you can do the conversion and plot the E and the H. Then what you can do is plot all of the E and the H's from all of the positions in that multi-position, integrate all of the E and the H, and guess you're going to find out what's going to happen to the E and H when they're overlapped, when they offer each and every position they were in phase.
Okay. With that as a starting philosophy, if I only assume that my transmitting antenna made an extremely narrow pencil beam to the north and transmitted no significant energy in any other direction, under those assumptions, is that moving applet that you and I have seen recently, and if I only look at the signal coming to the north, under all of those assumptions, and I throw away the error of its reconstructing arrows at the leading edge, is that applet that bad? Over to you, Glenn. Take your item.
If you do the experiment that I just mentioned to you before, use your sensor, measure all of your E measurements, calculate and convert to H, because they're all going to be E and H are going to be phased, and integrate all of those with points on each other. Tell me what you get when you're done, and it's not going to matter whether you've got a directional antenna or a non-directional antenna. If you do that measurement and you measure those quadrants exactly where you measure them, you're going to find something very, very interesting.
Okay, every real antenna has a significant amount of energy coming out of every single one of the 41,000 square degrees on the surface of the sphere, with the object mentioned, mounted in the center of the sphere. Every real antenna is putting some amount of antenna energy in every one of those directions. You can't stop it from doing it. However, if I now take the opposite leap of faith, I've got a pure omnidirectional, pure isotropic antenna in the center of that sphere, that the amount of energy at every one of those square degrees is identical. And I now try to make an applet that shows the E and the H wave coming out of that isotropic antenna. If you could make that effort and make it move, representing time slowly sliding, I don't think anybody would understand it, Glenn. Over to you, Glenn. KQRIW.
It's typically not drawn as an effort like that. I've seen it more as rings. And the rings are basically, look something like, almost like an atom structure. You can do it in MathKit, actually. The MathKit gives you pretty neat. I'll see if I can plot one out for you and send it to you and basically show you what E and H really look like. And then it gives you a reason why, as that wave is moving out from the source. And it doesn't matter whether what basically happens is the lines of flux, if you have a directional antenna, just get more fetched up on one side than another. But the reality is the shape of the basic ratio of E to H is the same in free space no matter what you do. It's just the amplitude will be different. So in other words, you'll see a bunching up, like a screen image where the screen, the blocks, or the spaces, the holes in the screen get thicker in one area and very thin and narrow in another area. And you can fold these screens over each other almost into levels of circles that intersect each other at 6 points. So in other words, you can actually make six individual circles that represent E and H. And then when you look at the total energy in free space as it's moving away, and you can definitely see the difference between the averaged or the integrated E and H in free space, and you really see that they're not in phase at all. It's only the antenna, to its point of view, when it's intersecting at a cross-section in an area, that it actually sees it as a E and H as being maximum in the antenna, just because it's intersecting at 90 degrees and creating that 90-degree cut.
Fantastic. Sounds like you might be able to generate something and mail it to me. And when you talked about those holes in the pattern, it suddenly brought to mind an article I wrote that I published on the internet. I'm going to send you a copy of it, and we'll discuss that further. You and I have got to go to work tomorrow. You've got a new employer that you've got to keep happy. I shouldn't keep you up too late. We better start saying 73, Glenn. It's been fun, and one of these days we're going to get to the bottom of this. Assuming there is a bottom. Over to you, Glenn. KQRIW.
Yeah, it could just be round. 73 sick. Have a really good week, and speak to you soon. Always a pleasure. KQRIW, KQ2QIQ.
Hey, Dick. Hey, Glenn. Great. Talk to you later. KQ2WGB.
Very fine, John. You guys have hung in there to this wicked hour. This was TechNet number 1438 of the series that began in September of 1982. And one of these days, we're going to figure out what radio is. We got a ways to go, as you can tell. Bye-bye, you all. Be kind to each other. John, Glenn, everybody else, have fun. This is a hobby. Don't take it too serious. Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. KC2WGB.
Yeah, don't take it too serious, because you ain't going to get out of this one alive. All three of us have been in hospital recently, and we're starting to feel like finite in time, in the time domain. Bye-bye, you all.
Yeah, it's called suffering from compression.
When you say suffering from compression, do they also ask you to wear support hose, John?
No, Dick, but they wanted me to go to the hyperbaric chamber and be put in there and brought up the two atmospheres, and I told them absolutely not, not doing that. So they don't understand why, but it's useless to me.
Yeah, they were going to do a small version of that. They were going to put a set of pants on me that created this cyclic pressure. And they thought that was going to do great things. Okay. So you and I were both being pressured. How are you, John?
Yeah, but I don't put up with their nonsense, Dick. If they don't have legitimate reasons, I refuse everything. You know, taking the heparin, I understand, because I have an IV in my body that has to be cleared and can't clot, so I know anytime you have a pick, you must have heparin. So agree to that. Otherwise, I'm like you. I don't want anything.
Yeah, they thought I was a little bit weird that I refused the heparin, which I know is a blood thinner. And I had just taken myself off daily aspirin, which is also a blood thinner, because in my case, it created a burst of retina-connected floaters in my right eye. And as soon as I went off the aspirin, a few weeks later, almost all of those retina-connected floaters disappeared. So I see a relation between the two. With that as an explanation, they accepted the fact that I didn't want heparin, and they said they would accept me not taking the heparin as long as I wasn't developing bed straws, as long as I would walk around the hospital enough. So then I kept doing a whole lot of walking around, and that's when I ran into those weird temperature problems that I told you about. Bye-bye for now, John. TGRIW.
All right, Dick. Great net tonight. Some interesting questions. And by the way, you know, they even worry about people on aircraft sitting for, you know, 10-hour and stuff like that, getting phlebitis and, you know, blood clots and things like that. So there's a lot to be considered. As long as you're moving, you should be fine. Well, enjoy. Have fun this week, and I'll talk to you down the log. KC2WGB.
Roger, Dodger, John. Keep moving. Otherwise, if we don't move, they're going to paint us.
That's right. If it moves, salute it. If it doesn't move, paint it. Good military.
Isn't that a famous Navy expression?
Absolutely.
For visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
KB2DIF, wandering aimlessly.
Thank you. 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system.
Existence for like almost 15 years. I don't remember the last time I touched a bowling ball. I think I have one somewhere in my closet.
I was cleaning up in the basement this week, and I took advantage of the rainy day activities on Saturday, and I found three balls, of which only one is usable. One is cracked, and the other one is way too scuffed up. An Omega, which used to be a cat's meow. I won it at a tournament. And, you know, it sort of kind of has special feelings towards that ball. I should have put it on the commercial with the mop.
Well, if it's just being scuffed up, can it be polished without ruining it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to use it and give it to my son if he wants it. But I'm beyond those. And there's an old rubber one, a Thunderbolt, which I used as a spare ball way back when. That's still in good shape. It's the plastic ones that crack.
To tell you the age of the bowling ball that I have in the house, I believe it was an old Brunswick Black Beauty, which is a rubber ball.
Sure. There were millions of those because the plastics were in order. Okay, climbing Spinny Hill. And I wanted to speak to you about something also, which I gotta talk to you offline about. It's Monday, so it could be another possible Jayco inspection day today. I'm hoping next week it'll happen when I'm not here.
Jayco always comes on a Monday?
Yeah. It ain't come last because of the holiday. And they're around, but doesn't necessarily mean they're coming right to us. But there's, all the panic about Jayco, and I'm sure you'll live through a couple of these things. A lot of craziness.
How often does the hospital get a Jayco inspection?
Every 3 years, and then usually the DOH follows right after them, with a what they call a heavy inspection. So it's worry a whole lot about the DOH, I mean, it's a worrisome thing, but it's not like Jayco. Jayco, there's dollars involved.
Yeah, we get the equivalent of a Jayco every 10 years.
Then what about the DOH? When do they come in?
I don't know the schedule for that, but DOH comes in for inspections. They also come in for audits of Medicaid, all that wonderful stuff.
Well, if there's a complaint, right?
I guess if there's a complaint, they'll show up also. But they have a regular inspection. If we redo a clinic, they have to inspect it before we can open it up for you.
Right, that I understand. I think that's standard procedure. But I know they follow Jake all around because we get him a couple of weeks afterwards. And as I said, they're worrisome, but Jayco is where the money's at, so that's why everybody's so paranoid about it. Anyway, we've been hearing about it for the last almost 3 months, so, it's like we're ready. We're ready. We're in much better shape than in the old days when we used to have these things. And, of course, a couple of heads will roll. A lot of times it has to do with, in terms of the head rolling, the nurses that are untouchable, a lot of their medications are expired or not properly stored, that kind of thing. And they do like their secret.
In a quarter of a mile, I will be Submariner. So, speak with you later in the week. And to Zeddy, be clear.
Hey, mister, have a good one. KB2N, QN Mobile. See you later.
Nice weekend, and otherwise out of sight of that. Looks like we're staying on the mild side of temperatures, so tomorrow night rain and wind, but no snow, so that's a good thing, because we really don't want any more snow at this point, if possible. We'll see what happens. Andy, over to you, W2SCT Moto.
Morning, Peter. Yeah, we have a an old Brookville Police Department van, SUV, going backwards on the expressway. I think he missed something. Maybe the exit? I don't know. Maybe he's new. Could have got off at exit 39. He passed me like with lights and sirens, and there's nothing there on the side of the road that I could see anyway. And it's very hard to just be aware that, you know, there's the whole big thing about, you know, moving over, and it can be tough, and especially when he may zigs and zags a little bit going backwards on the expressway. So, yeah, Lou, you got to go adjust the camera, believe it or not. I'm getting paid for it, so I'm going. Have coffee, we'll travel. Go ahead, Lou.
Alrighty, you will call your paladin. Have gun, we'll travel. Coffee works. I'm going to stop right now at 7-Eleven. And okay, on the Papa Bravo. I don't think it's the way you pronounce it. I think it's our sorry old ears. That's the problem. Alright, so I'm probably going to miss a round or two here to go to 7-Eleven and get my coffee. Have coffee, we'll travel. So back to you, Paul. This is NY2H.
Okay, Lou, enjoy the coffee and we'll wait for you to return. And Peter, I was really hoping I would see you at this month's Limark meeting when I did my talk, but last poor York, I only showed up. Or if you did, I missed you somehow. I'll be at the Hamfest next Sunday at the TKJI visit or something. Nice clear day today. You know, a little bit on the cool side, 33 degrees, but I mean, nice clear day. So, Peter, over to you, sir.
Okay, later there, Paul, and Lou will catch you back when you get your coffee. And Andy, fine on the Brookville Police, this exit or whatever's going on there. Yeah, you wonder when they put the lights on and there's nobody there. What are they doing? But they are emphasizing the move over for emergency vehicle thing when the LIE with the signs constantly emphasizing that lately over the past few months. I don't know why the big deal. Depending upon which lane you're in, they just go in the left lane or whatever. I'm behind a very slow-moving school bus. It's going way at the speed. I don't know what his problem is. But anyhow, I did get to the meeting later, Paul, so I wasn't there. Sorry, I didn't get there, but maybe the next one. Hope your workouts are going well in the morning here. Oscars, but they go so late. I don't know why they don't put it on a Saturday night. Why do they put it on a Sunday? On a Saturday, we'll see for the next night. I just can't feel it. Yeah, I kind of had it on in the background. I went to sleep around 11 and had it on. Any over to you with a few questions.
2 Alpha Sierra Sierra.
Good morning, Greg. Andy, KB2HG. You're losing it there on the repeater. Now you, Greg. Well, anyway, you were right about the lights are on. What do you call it? And nobody's there, nobody's home. I guess that's a cliche. That's the word, rather. When you're going backwards on the expressway, I guess I don't know if that's what you meant, but you're definitely correct in saying it. Lights were on and nobody was home, or nobody was there. Good morning, Greg, and I know I thought it was you maybe a while ago, a couple of weeks ago. I got pulled over for been on the radio, and I was curious what happened to that, if it was you. Good morning, KB2AZG. Pick it up, Greg, and then hand it over to a W2PB. Papa Bravo.
Y2S is back. Okay, yeah, that was me. What happened? He ended up just giving, instead of arguing, because he said I was wrong, no matter what, he said, no, you can't use any electronic device, be it an iPhone or an iPod or anything. And I'm like, look, this doesn't come under that. And he said it does, including CB. I said, it's not a CB, it's a ham radio. And I mentioned that whole thing about wideband, narrowband. It didn't matter. But he gave me a ticket for no seatbelt. All right, there was a braking station. So, another braking station, the guy who came back, they told me to hand it over to PB. So I guess I'll give it to PB, and then you give it to the next station that popped in there that came back.
Lou, take it and then give it back to me. That way we'll keep the rotation.
Indeed, Paul. Okay. Yes, Greg, that's what you do. You give it to the braking station and tell them to listen to it too. And in this case, it's keeping the rotation the way it was when I left, so that's even better. And good morning. And well, you got your first seatbelt. I tell you, it's tough because they have all the I think they're right. So, you know, they're saying with authority and everything, but in fact, they're not right. I don't know. We had a meeting at the town hall yesterday. All the officers and board members of various clubs in the New York Long Island section. And one of the things that Mike Masenko brought up, or actually, I guess, Richie brought it up and we discussed it, was this problem where we act in a sense as emergency communicators. And during Sandy, guys that were out in their cars helping via ham radio were subject to getting ticketed. So I don't know if the ARL will do anything about it, but certainly we brought that up. Paul, over to you. This is N12H Mobile.
Okay, very good. Well, my memory serves me right. Right after the law was enacted, there was a ticket issued up in someplace in the Hudson Valley, and the guy contested the ticket. It went to court. And the judge adjudicated that since the transmission was governed by FCC rules and regulations, he had no jurisdiction in the matter and dismissed the case. But I don't know, I don't think that's going to be a precedent. And I still revise as I'm driving around, you know, in case I get pulled over. See, if I had my seatbelt on, I would fight the seatbelt ticket because my seatbelt's fastened and take my chances on fighting the other. Anyway, I'm going to say 7-3. I'm at the cardio workout place. Everyone have a great day. And Peter, I'm going to turn over to you. W2 Papa Bravo. Over to you, Peter.
Okay, W2 Papa Bravo, 7-3 there, Paul, and have a good day. And good morning to you, Greg. And I didn't quite catch that what happened there with the camera operators assisting somebody and they got tickets for what? I was clear on that. And Greg gave you a ticket for what was it? Not having a seatbelt on? Unless you had pulled over and taken the seatbelt off, I don't know. It's not good when the police don't know what they're doing.
and they don't, they're confused about the laws, and there's a lack of education going on there when they argue with you. And we all know what the laws are, and so it's a sad thing. And I even wonder why the Brookville police are down there, Andy, on Glen Cove Road. That's not their area. That's I don't even know what they're doing down there. That's old, if anything, that's old Westbury police territory as far as local police, but it's very limited to that. The Glen Cove Road, I think, is the western edge of their jurisdiction there, so I don't know what a Brookville cop is doing in that area. You know, that's another thing you wonder about everything. Over to you. So, Paul, have a good day, and like Paul said, that case was dismissed, and there's just a lot of aggravation. Andy, over to you.
Oh, copy that. Well, I don't know. Maybe he was just visiting. The cop was visiting. Take it easy, Paul. But it worked out. Sweating with the oldies. But you know what? If you, the cop's going to pull you over, you're going to get a ticket. Just say your piece nicely and then end it so that maybe he'll be nice. There's got to be a way to present yourself because, you know, there's interpretations. And I guess, you know, it's really up to the discretion of the officer because if you think about it or he thinks about it and he knows anything about, and you're right, he's not educated to the fullest extent in the law and what we do, then maybe he would, you know, forego that and just give you a warning or just say goodbye, but he did pull you over. So it looks good. Because if he knew that we were doing emergency services, so to speak, and it's for a good reason, that's a discretion, and that should be taken in such a way that he understands. And just like a fellow officer and somebody has a badge that, you know, hey, have a nice day, but, you know, just be nice so you don't get any more tickets. Greg, pick it up.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you would think that they would be aware because they use radios constantly. And it's legal for them to pick up their microphone and book on it. You know, it's just like an ambulance driver can pick up his radio and talk and tell the hospital they're going to be there in a couple of minutes. I don't see what a difference would be. So that's, you know, that's that.
NY2H, well, I suppose they can say they're trained just like they're trained on the pursuit course in certain driving techniques and such. But, yeah, and discretion's a funny thing. I wonder if you could argue that the police brass in Essex County that just got charged with letting that kid go who was stealing from the school because, he was the son of somebody who funded police events. Could you call that discretion? You know, so there's a line somewhere, but you're right. Prosecutors have discretion. Cops have discretion. PBA card, you got to work stuff that you normally wouldn't. So this is the way it is. I carry the Prozac decision with me. I think this can help, but I think it helped Bernie a couple times when he got stopped. Again, Andy, your point will take and be very nice, be very polite, and just show the officer, look, here's an appeal. It was overturned on appeal in the case of amateur radio, just for your advisement, and then let him do what he wants to do. Appeal for you, NY2H Mobile.
Okay, very good, Lou. W2SET Mobile, and yeah, I guess I should get a copy of that. But also you can go on the, well, I know, I think the Limark website has the rules there printed and the ARRL as well, I believe. But I didn't, when it comes around to you, Lou, I just was curious about what happened with the ticketing of those ham radio operators that are assisting,